Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we run to you again and again and again because you always remain faithful. You always reveal that you are the God who is for us and not against us. You remind us that you have sent your only begotten Son into this world, that he might be our life, our salvation, and our eternity. And Lord, may your Spirit that you have also sent into our hearts, may he light the truth that you have for us today in your word. And Lord, when that word is hard to hear, help us to be reminded that it is for our good, now and eternally. So Lord, may your Spirit work in our hearts and minds and lives this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today you're getting a full blast of Numbers chapter 11. There's really two angles that you could take as you approach this passage, and you're welcome to open up your Bibles or your Bible app to Numbers 11. And if you're on an electronic version, just a heads up for those of you that get annoyed by this, I'm reading from the NLT version. So if you want to follow that, you're welcome to do that. One of the great aspects of this passage is what Pastor Bray did a tremendous job at helping us to see through the children's message is that you and I, wherever God calls us and asks us to lead, we are never really intended to be alone in that endeavor. God aims for this to be a communal kind of effort, supporting one another as we seek to lead various things in this world in God's name and for the benefit of others. And so Moses teaches us how heavy it is and how great the burden is to lead the people of God. And God reminds Moses, as Pastor Bray reminded us, that he's got people and elders that he has appointed, and he will take some of that spirit that was on Moses and put it on the 70 so that they may share the burden of leadership with Moses as they move through the wilderness wanderings. Now, normally, we sync up the message and the children's message together, but today it won't be synced, and that is not Pastor Bray's fault. That's my fault because I said I was going to talk about the leadership thing early in the week, and then by the end of the week, I changed my mind, and I didn't tell him. Not on purpose, I just failed to tell him. So, I'm going to look at a lot of Numbers chapter 11. I'm going to look at a verse before our reading today, and we're also going to even look at a couple verses after. And I think there's some great stuff for you and I to learn here this morning. Numbers 11:1. We'll start there just to give us a little bit of an idea of the tone leading into our actually appointed reading today that began in verse 4. But verse 1 says this: soon the people began to complain about their hardship, and the Lord heard everything they said. Then the Lord's anger blazed against them, and he sent a fire to rage among them, and he destroyed some of the people in the outskirts of the camp. That's not really a soft beginning to a chapter, is it? People complain, the Lord sends a fire in their midst, and that fire destroys many of them. But why I look at this verse is because it begins to set the tone for us as we look at the danger of the sin of discontentment. The sin of discontentment, which always begins, as we will see, always begins with chatter, talk, whispers. And it seems at the beginning to be very harmless complaining, very harmless discontentment. It leads you to then look back at your past, maybe better days behind you. It leads you to look around at your present, and all of a sudden you begin to think, I can make a list of all the things that I think I'm lacking in this life and in this world. And then it becomes like a virus, and it spreads. Whining and complaining is infectious, and believe it or not, it spreads faster than even the COVID virus and vaccine spread through. It spreads, and it's not good. And it leads to this tremendous sin of whining and complaining. Look at the pattern in verse 4 where our reading began. Then the foreign rabble, that's a nice way of saying Egyptians, who were traveling with the Israelites, began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain, oh, for some meat. If only we could have some meat to eat, they exclaimed. I want you to pause and understand something about the sin of discontentment. Seems like it's not a big deal just asking for meat. But let's begin, right? The people complained and whined about their slavery in Egypt. God heard. God delivered. God has them in the wilderness, and they complain about not having food. And God hears the whining and the complaining, and He gives them manna, bread from heaven, that they might eat and live in the wilderness. Now the complaint is, we're tired of the bread. We want something better. We want meat. This is like you and I standing face to face with God and saying, God, you are not enough for me. You're not sufficient for me. And I will look elsewhere to find the sufficiency and the excess of what I want that you're not giving or providing. Do you see how highly offensive this is to God? The one who heard their prayer, the one who delivered them, the one who fed them, and still they are not content. Because here's the sin of discontentment. Enough is never enough. If you know any of the models of Ford vehicles, there's XL, there's XLT, right? There's, what are the other ones? Ranch Edition, all, you know, they keep going up, right? You want a Ford F-150, you're so excited, and you get one, and it's an XL, and you drive it for a while, then you begin to think, you know what I really want? An XLT. That one has leather. Then you get that one, and you think, wow, this is amazing, and you think, you know what? The King Ranch is just one more up. This is how discontentment works in all areas of life. Lord, I'm not content with the salary you've given me. Lord, I need more. Lord, I'm not content with the house that you've given me. I think I need more space. I need something with a little more, well, shine to it, Lord. I need this. I need that. Over and over and over, and all the Lord hears is your discontentment. And look at the effect in this reading from Numbers 11. The people are discontent. Moses, as their appointed leader, he is completely aggravated with the people. But God, he's angry. He sees this for the affront it is from his people and the affront it is from you and I when we let our discontentment turn into whining and complaining. Present discontentment has led the people of Israel to crave their torturous slavery and to want to go back. It's led them to not want to look ahead to the things that God has promised, and they know that he will deliver based on what they have seen with their own eyes that he did on their behalf, and they are discontent, and that leads them to say, you know what? I would rather go back to the slave of Egypt. I would rather eat the meat that I got in Egypt. Listen to the text. God heard the whining and complaining, and he answers their prayer. You want meat as you craved in Egypt? I will give you meat, not just 2 days, not just 3 days, not just 5 days. I will give you a month's worth of meat. Moses, who is always apt to learn a lesson like any leader, looks to God and says, all right, I hear you, but how's this going to happen? We don't even have enough livestock that we could kill to feed all of these people. And God quickly says to Moses, has my arm, in verse 23, lost its power? Now you will see whether or not my word comes true. The whiner's woe is me prayer is answered, and meat comes in abundance, extravagant abundance. The text tells us it's stacked up for miles around the camp of where God's people are at. And then listen to this, verses 33 to 34. But while they were gorging themselves on the meat, while it was still in their mouths, the anger of the Lord blazed against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague, so that the place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, which means graves of gluttony, because there they buried the people who craved meat from Egypt. Did you notice that? They craved meat from where? Egypt. They didn't see nor treat God as the great giver. They didn't want to trust him despite the overwhelming evidence. And they acted like he's not been the God who was for them, even after he sends the plagues and they see all of that and he parts the Red Sea and lets them walk through, and still they struggle with their eyes and sinful hearts to see this is a God who delivers, provides, and cares for us. The craving spoke louder than the voice of God speaking from heaven to them in Egypt and parting the Red Sea. So as you and I turn our attention to the work of Jesus, as we realize we've been liberated, set free from something far greater than an earthly bondage. We've been set free from the dominion of darkness and the devil and hell itself through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not because we deserved it, but because He is a God who is abundant in love and mercy. So, do you think that God, who doesn't change, do you think that He gets as angry today with you and I when the sin of discontentment rules as He did with the people of Israel? Or do you prefer, as many do, to say, no, 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 no. That's the God of the Old Testament. This is the God of the New. Jesus is nice, He's kind, and He's love. I would say if that's your thought, the latter part, beware of fires coming randomly around you. Because you see, to not take it seriously would be, from God's perspective, to say, you know, what my son did was, well, it was no big deal. It wasn't even necessary. I just enjoy cruelly punishing my son. Oh, he gets angry. He gets upset when you do the things and look to him and you're whining and complaining and say, you know what, you're not enough. What you've provided me and my family, it's just not good enough. Lord, I need more. But here's one thing that's different, though God isn't. You heard that the 70 elders got a portion of the Holy Spirit. We see the fullness and coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And the fullness of that Spirit comes to you and to me at our baptism. And that Holy Spirit remains ever active in our life to deal with the sin of discontentment. He turns us to the Father for forgiveness. And the Son says to you, if you read John 6, here am I, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will be satisfied. And he could also have added, and if you're going to crave anything, let it be me. Paul says in Philippians 1, I have learned what it means to be content in plenty and want, hungry, full belly, on and on. He says, I've learned it. And the way he's learned it is, he says, it is through Christ and in him alone and only that I can be content no matter the circumstances. And he goes on to say in verse 19, and this same God who takes care of all of my needs is the same God who will meet all of your needs through his glorious riches given to you in Christ Jesus. The opposite of discontentment is contentment. And the key to contentment is trusting in God fully. And knowing he knows better than you or I do. You don't want him to answer the whiny, complainy prayer in the way he answered it for Israel. He said, I will give them so much it will come out of their nose and they will choke on it. And many of them who wanted that meat, not from him, but from Egypt, it says, died as he sent forth the plague upon them when the meat was still in their mouth. So it's your Lord and Savior who invites you today to this table, to this meal, and says, take and eat. I'm giving you myself for your good, for your forgiveness, for your life, and your salvation. And if you receive that today, you've received all you need for eternity. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may we wash our ears and eyes with your promises spoken from your own lips. Promises like, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And Lord, just as your Holy Spirit taught the Apostle Paul as he grew and as he learned contentment, may you do that for us too, Lord. Where necessary, may you turn us to bend a knee and to beg your mercy and forgiveness for having highly offended you and acted as if you were not sufficient nor good enough for us. Forgive us, Lord. And in your forgiving, create in us new hearts, hearts that find their contentment in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.